Good to go.
Okay, everybody's ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to call this meeting to order. If everybody could please rise and join me with the pledge to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As per requirement of Public Law 1975, Chapter 231, notice is hereby given that this is a regular meeting of the Borough of Highlands Planning Board, and all requirements have been met. Notice has been transmitted to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times, and notice has been posted on the public bulletin board. Roll call.
Mr. Mullen?
Here.
Mr. Shawman?
Here.
Ms. Peterson?
Here.
Mr. Irby is absent. Mayor Mullen is absent. Mr. Redden?
Here.
Mr. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Gallagher is absent. Mr. Stockton?
Here.
Mr. Colby?
Here.
And Mr. Russo is absent.
Okay. Under item 5 on our agenda, motions for adjournment. There is nothing. Under item 6, new business, review applications and set public hearing dates. There is nothing listed. Under item 7, approval of resolution, we have PB 2011-1. Scaturo Irrevocable Trust, and in your packets you have that.
There are two separate resolutions for
those resolutions.
Right. And the only change from what you've seen in your package is the date. I believe it was dated in March. That's when I did it originally, and I redated it for today.
Should we, both of them. Should we take these together or
one
at a time?
One at a time is fine.
Okay.
So the first one's going to be for Block 1, Lots 14. 15, 16, and 17, and 18, and Block 3, Lots 9 and 10, and for the record, Mr. Gallagher's arrived, 7:44 p.m.
Okay. Does he have to sign on all of these?
Yes.
Votes?
Yes. Sorry, Eric.
That's okay. Mr. Roberts is not going to be here. He's going to step her accident.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, she's okay, but who's going in with the after?
Okay.
The eligible members for these resolutions are Mr. Mullen, Mayor Nolan, Mr. Redmond, and Mr. Gallagher. Is that going to be a problem now that we lost members? It's only four. Okay, so it's those four members.
Even if there's only one member left, it's still okay.
That are eligible to offer. And
okay, so we'll entertain a motion to adopt resolution, the first one for Block 1, Lots 14 through 18, and Block 3, Lots 9 and 10. Anybody?
Is there any discussion on these? Or just
you can have a discussion on them if you like.
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you can discuss them.
One of the comments on the first page talks about this board retaining jurisdiction for development later in time. And I wondered whether that was really accurate, whether this board would hear any, as a matter of natural course, they wouldn't. The zoning board would. Planning board doesn't deal with residential.
Can you tell me what section is that?
First page, fourth whereas.
Thank you.
Fourth whereas on for lot 18.
Yes. Lots 14, 18, yeah.
It's on the next page.
We are dealing with this one here, right? Lots 1, lots 14, 15, 16, 17.
Right, this is for lot 11.
Oh.
Okay. Huh. Got me on that one, Peter. Okay.
All right, so that's not an issue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll take that out. Is there any other comments on that?
If not,
someone
will
offer a motion?
We're looking for that motion to approve.
Those four people.
So moved.
Offered by Mr. Gallagher.
Second
by Mr. Mullen.
Any other discussion? No? Roll call?
Mr. Mullen?
Yes.
Mayor? Oh, sorry. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries.
Okay. Next is the resolution for Block 3, Lot 11. And is there any discussion on...
Okay, right, I apologize. That my comment was on the fourth whereas on the first page there about issues that in the future for residential development become for this board versus the zoning board.
It should come back here because this is the board of original jurisdiction. That's why I put that clause in there.
And how would it get here?
How would it get here as an amendment to this?
How would the zoning officer know to direct it to this board?
By way of the resolution.
So in 10 years, if somebody wants to do something there, he has to find this resolution.
There should be a note made in
but
the file.
But there's also a master list, people that I've created since 91 or 92,
right,
which identifies each block and lot. It's in block and lot order, and then has the board they went to, the date of their approval, and what was approved. So that's a quick reference so that you could... Correct.
Yeah, there should be a note in the property file for this that the
yes.
zoning officer would look at.
And he does it.
That any activity on these lots should be, the resolution should be reviewed.
Right. Okay. And the adequate restrictions on the deeds, is there, we don't want to do anything further than say that they should be adequate restrictions for the future development of the lots?
Well, I would review those deeds to make sure that the restrictions that are in there are consistent with the approvals granted.
So you're going to review those?
Yes, both Rob and I will both get those deeds and we'll look at them and we'll compare
and
them.
And the board won't
notes.
Sign off until those
right.
two...
And these resolutions. I'll benchmark them against the resolutions.
And again, the same eligible people.
Okay. So we'll... Now we'll entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Offered by
Mr. Mullen. I'll second.
Okay.
Second by Mr. Gallagher.
There we have the second. Any other discussion on the motion? Roll call.
Mr. Mullen?
Yes.
Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Under item 8 on our agenda, unfinished or adjourned hearings, there is none. Or there are none. Under item 9, hearings on new business, there are none. Under item 10, actions on any other business, we have three things to discuss. The first is review of zoning ordinance amendments O-12-9, the third revision. And if we could just keep the discussion to the changes from that third round.
Has anyone identified specifically the changes?
Well, I can do that. Third page, roughly the middle of page, 5A. All mid-sized developments should be required to consist of multiple buildings or structures and not one residential structure. That was added from the last discussion.
Is that mid-sized, whether they did rise or mid-sized?
Oh, where do you look?
5K on page 2.
Oh, 5K.
I thought it was mid-rise.
Yeah, it should be mid-rise.
You got that?
That's the only change on this one.
Okay.
Okay, the word size should be omitted.
Right,
and
just
rise.
Just referring to the resolution, it says mid-rise on the resolution.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Any other discussion on the third round of revisions for this ordinance? Yeah. Motion to approve.
So moved.
You have a resolution, Mr.
Yeah, there's a. I had to do up another one of those famous resolutions and get some blanks. Let's see what I have in here. Okay, so again, I left it blank whether or not we're going to say it's consistent with the land use or other elements, and whether it does or does not advance the purposes, because that's up to the board to make that determination. And where it's further resolved, we'll request that they correct page 3. Uh, 5K?
Yes.
Yes.
From mid-size to mid-rise. Yeah, I don't, we really don't have to go with whether it's inconsistent or it does or does not advance, because we've already addressed all of that in the prior resolutions. It's in there. All you're doing with this one is just making that one minor change. So I don't have to fill that in. They already have that.
Okay.
Yeah. The point's been made. And I think, I don't know whether you, I think you've already, the board already voted that it's inconsistent and does not advance the purposes, and that you've been on record with that.
Okay.
So you're fine.
Well, then doesn't the last resolution carry the force of previous considerations?
Yes.
So shouldn't it be in that last resolution too?
No. I don't think it makes a difference, but if you want, we can put it in there. I'll put it in, that's why I left it blanks. So you tell me. Whether you believe these changes.
Well, it's a fact of the matter. All we did was change the fact that there was one building and another. Okay. So we
do you happen to have the old resolutions by any chance?
I'm looking at it, and it says partially consistent with the land use and other elements of the Hallensboro master plan due to the provision of allowing mid-rise multi-family in the zone.
That's for 12.9 or 12.10?
12.9. I believe that's the proper one.
Okay. See the one that was actually signed.
That's the one. So second last paragraph in the first page. Now it's our third. Now therefore we go.
Okay. We can put that clause back in.
What are you reading there? This was, I believe this was the prior resolution?
From April 12th. Okay.
The last board resolution.
This is?
I don't know. Yes.
Okay, I can, we'll, you know what, I'll just go back to that one, and then I'll have Carolyn sign this, and I'll revise it to that, so, and have her send it over to a VD member.
What are we changing? We're adding?
Yeah, the only thing we're going to add is in here, we're going to take the same language that's in this resolution, that the board finds there's inconsistencies, and it states why, and that's from the April 12th resolution, and the other comment the board has about the last revision sent over from the mayor and council is the request to correct from mid-size to mid-rise that language in 5K on page 3.
Okay.
And that'll take care of it.
Okay. So then motion to approve that resolution as discussed and amended.
So moved.
Offered by Mr. Gallagher.
Any other discussion?
Is there eligibility?
This is not like an application where...
Well, you should really keep it... I would say keep it consistent with what's been going on. Any members who have weren't here for all these discussions.
So, like, last month we allowed Mr. Colbert to vote, but he shouldn't be voting.
Did he vote last month?
He did. But he wasn't here all along since it's been going on.
It doesn't really matter. At this stage, to me, if you want to exclude, Mr. Chairman, if you want to exclude people who weren't here for the entire process, that's fine. Okay, like yourself.
I mean, right.
It makes sense
that's,
for you.
I do want to...
So let's exclude...
I know I'm going to abstain.
Mr.
Right.
Colby?
Right. Well, Mr. Colby, last month the board went through this entire ordinance from start to finish again as if it was the first time.
Yep.
If there's a question, I'll abstain.
So, no, I don't think you have to because there was a full...
So anybody who was here last month is eligible is what you're saying?
Correct, yeah. There was a full discussion on the entire ordinance. It wasn't like you approached it on a piecemeal basis. You started from square one and went through the whole thing, so I don't see any reason why you shouldn't participate.
Okay, so we have an offer by Mr. Gallagher.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Peterson.
Any other discussion on the resolution?
A vote in the negative last time doesn't preclude a vote this time?
Well, if you voted against it, no, you can vote again. Yeah, vote again. Sure.
That was my question. If you don't have
okay.
Vote
again. Yeah, vote again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Mullen?
Yeah.
Mr. Muller?
Yes.
Ms. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Colby?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Okay. Next on the agenda is review of zoning ordinance amendment O-12-10, the second revision.
I'll go through the changes again.
Okay.
Second page, section three, the end of the last sentence. Unless the applicant requests to develop a property or tract of the R1.03 standards. Is that it?
Section, you're on page two?
Page two, section three, the last part of the last sentence. Unless the applicant.
Very last line.
Section three.
Page two, section three.
You're looking at this, we're ordinance 12-10.
Isn't this 12-10?
Section three, last sentence.
Okay, unless, I'm with you, okay. I'm sorry, Rob.
Am I correct with the page number?
No.
Is that the only change?
No, I'm just waiting for a grammar.
Oh, I'm
sorry. All right, we're going to page two, section three, last sentence. Got it.
Unless, sorry.
Unless.
Third page, the next page. Under one permitted principal uses, M was moved from the conditional use.
Can we just go back? I'm sorry, Rob.
Yep.
Go back to the change, the previous change that you pointed to. The last sentence, the bulk requirements of the mixed-use development district shall be utilized for any development standards.
Unless
for any development unless the applicant requests to develop the property or tract with the R1.03 standards. What does that change mean?
So essentially, this is an overlay zone. So if the applicant wants to request to develop a property under the underlying zone, they're permitted to do so.
That's what that's saying. Okay. Wait, let me get my head around the whole paragraph. Okay, it says all uses that are permitted in the MXD mixed-use district with the exception of mobile home parks shall be permitted in the R103 zone districts limited to parcels in the Locust Street neighborhood, specifically Locust Street west of Willow Street, portions of block 101 and 102. The bulk requirements of the mixed-use development shall be utilized for any development unless the applicant requests to develop the property or tract with the 1.03 standards. It sounds like this is saying that we're using the 1.03 standards with the exception of mobile home parks unless the applicant wants to use those standards. So we're restricting mobile home standards. We're restricting mobile homes unless the applicant wants mobile homes. Is that what that says? Yeah, I know, but
not formal.
I just don't know what that paragraph means. It sounds like we're restricting something unless the applicant wants to do it anyway.
Are they giving them options of what types of development they can go under, what standards?
They're giving the owner more discretion. That's what I would have. They're giving them a little bit
more. Well, the last ordinance, I think, maybe mistakenly
made it so that anybody who wanted to develop one of those lots that are in the R103 thing, on Locust or Willow, whatever the street is, had to develop it under the MXD zone. And we changed that so that he could develop it under the MXD zone regulations or under the R103 standards. Does that make sense?
Is that what this says?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If that's what this says, I can go with that.
And this is, yeah, I read it that way. And then I read it specifically to the area that's in the parentheses.
Look, it's
the R1.03 area by Locust Street, west of Willow Street, and portions of Block 101 and 102. That's just the area that we're talking about.
The difference is because the word shall is in there. So it says the bulk requirements of a mixed-use development MXD district shall be utilized for any development. And we're in a 1.03 zone.
Mm-hmm.
So it says unless the applicant wants to request to develop the property in basic four track with the R1.03 standard.
With the exception of mobile home parks.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
The other item Marty had to know is took out the 2-acre minimum. There weren't any tracks of 2 acres.
Where is that?
I'm looking at this.
Oh, I did. I did see that.
Okay.
That would be section 7 references. I just saw there are 2 acres, that's pages 1, 2, 3, go down the bottom of 4, carry to the top of 8.
Under bulk and area requirements?
Is that says a minimum tract of 2 acres, is that what you're referring to there, Rob?
Jack, where are you?
It's
on page, top of page 5.
Top of page 5.
5 pages are numbered, right?
Section 7.
Yes. Oh wait, no, it's 2 pages later. Under if you go 2 more pages to D, is 2 lines, 8 and 9 at the top. D bulk requirement, bulk and area. 1 minimum track size. It went from 6 to 2.
Oh yeah.
So with regard to what we're talking about, the acreage, with regard to this issue, I raised a point last time that if the R103 zone that was now incorporated into the possibility of using the MXD requirements in total didn't come up to 2 acres, it was in essence giving that land only to one developer, that the developer who has the 2 acres there can expand and do that. But no other person can develop under the MXD standards. Is that reasonable?
Unless they buy a lot of property.
But no, but the area that they can buy that is kind of you can avail of the MXD zone is Locust Street in the R103 zone. What other property are you thinking of?
Well, theoretically, somebody could buy the property from the person who's got the 2 acres down and expand the development.
It's being looked at.
What I'm saying is that 2 acres doesn't give any utility to the people in the 1.3 zone. All it does is allow the people who have the 2 acres to expand because they already have the ability because they have 2 acres. Am I reading it wrong?
This was in the legislation.
So what you're saying is somebody owns a little house, they have the right to do that.
No, I'm saying that if somebody's in the R103 zone, the only person that can sell that property to avail themselves of the MXD zone is somebody who already owns 2 acres of land in the MXD zone. Or 1.3
But you can't penalize somebody for owning all the land there, but he may sell a part off. We still don't have a resolution about the trailer park. So we don't know if that's exactly the case. The trailer park may wind up being owned by another party. In that case, that's a different story.
It's just me, I thought it was resolved.
Well, last time we had somebody get up and tell us it wasn't, so I'm just going by what was sent to us. The last time we had somebody get up and tell us it wasn't resolved. And that was a party to litigation, so I figured if that's the case, who knows, maybe he does sell it. You can't attach property to the current owner. He can trade it, do anything he wants.
Well, I'm really trying to do is make it so that this board doesn't create an unfairness in the zoning that only permits the land to be utilized by one property owner. And if we feel that we're not doing that, then fine. But the way I read it now, the way the ownership is set up right now, one person can use that.
The other way around, for the MXD zone. But the other way around is it allows that person to have more options when they sell that property. So that individual buyer, if they decide to sell to that particular developer, may in fact get more for their house.
I don't know. I think the opposite. I think that the price, since you can't sell it to anybody else, you can only sell it as a residential property.
You can sell it to anybody else in the world.
But not as MXD, because you can't have 2 acres. It can only go to one person.
If you took that right away from that person, you're taking the right away from the landowner. In this case, those landowners have a right to negotiate with anybody who owns that next zone, who abuts their property. If you take that out, you're taking those little houses and you're telling them, you're orphaned. You're stuck. This is where you're going. You can't get a better deal. Who's going to buy it then when there is no other options? Excuse my speech. I had some surgery.
My feeling is that they have 2 options. One, to sell their property as a residential lot. Or they could sell it as part of an MXD zone to one other entity.
I think they have two options.
Why one other entity?
Because there's no way of accumulating 2 acres to meet this zoning ordinance.
But they have 2 options where they would only have 1 option. So you're giving the individual property owners more options. I think that's a good thing.
But the one owner you're talking about now could sell to somebody else.
He could subdivide.
It's still one property owner. It
doesn't have to be one property owner.
I think
one of the properties are bordering this that he could utilize it for. I think Larry's right. The mobile home park could be, because it does border this. That could be a separate, possibly, MXD zone. Someone spun that off. But that's only the person.
I make motion for some minutes.
Well, that's good.
I'd like to make a motion to approve it as written.
With no changes.
No changes.
Are there any other changes?
We're not to the point for the motion.
Right. Yeah, no, you have to table that.
Until we get to
draw that until we get to the end, and then if you want to vote on it individually.
I didn't know there was multiple ones.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I just want to stay the course.
So, page 3, item 1M was added, moved from the conditional use into the permitted art, handicraft studios / workshops and galleries.
Okay.
The next page, under M, same thing, was added from conditional use. There was page 4, second 5, page 4, M, same exact thing. Second 5.
Mm-hmm.
modified from the overlay hood pump standards.
So how was it modified?
Good question. Yeah, I don't have an answer for you. It wasn't at the last meeting, but I'd say based on the discussion from last meeting.
Yeah, but I guess the question, if it's based on the hotel standards that were put in specifically there, is it a problem that it's now been modified and it's not the same as what's...
I read this some time ago, but my recollection is that the standards A through H are those that are established in the B zone, and that Marty called me while he was doing this, and all he was really trying to do was to take anything that wasn't going to be applicable in the new zone that was specific to the business zone. And there may have been something about parking that he did change.
Well, this one says parking would be one space per accommodation.
Right, but there was in the other one they were talking about off-site parking and that sort of thing. In the business zone, we have provisions for hotels not having all of their parking on site, but they could have up to 50% of their off site, whereas I just think you took it out of here so that it has to be an on site parking. That's my recollection.
Your last resolution that we adopted last month was the board recommends the mayor and the borough council develop a set of specific standards for hotels that are proposed to be permitted in the MXD zone pursuant to section 8B.4, which is this section.
That's number five.
No, I remembered that we had asked for this. I just wanted to make sure.
Is one parking space per room adequate? It doesn't leave any room for hotel staff. Right? If I'm reading that right. Or am I assuming 100% occupancy with that might
not be? They're not fully occupied.
They plan to hire local people who will walk to work.
Or
are they allowed to have a restaurant or anything in the hotel?
Yeah, 24 rooms. With certain other rooms, you get a liquor license. You didn't have one.
Yeah, well, what about the parking for that?
Yeah, I think they build a hotel and get a license. Used to. Is that still true, Cap? You build a hotel with a certain amount of rooms, you get a license.
In most towns.
Yeah.
I don't know what the ordinance reads here.
We're at our max for a license.
Yeah, I don't.
Not for hotels, though.
I
didn't know it was in this book, it was state law. So why was Bowen Alley's doing it?
The state law establishes the amount of liquor license you have based on population, based on...
We're way over our max. We're grandfathered in.
Yeah.
The idea was not that people go someplace else when they're drinking. That was what they put in years ago. So I think hotels were exempt from the population. Close to that kind of one. Might have been.
I'm looking at the existing ordinance now regarding hotels. The parking standard with that says each hotel shall provide parking at a ratio of one space per unit of accommodation. The parking may be provided on site within 1,000 feet of the hotel property.
That's what they took out.
A minimum of 50% of the required parking shall be provided on the same lot parcel contracted to the hotel. So this is essentially taking out the second half of that and requiring the parking space per unit, so it's providing more parking on this on site.
So say if, theoretically, if they were full and hotel staff's either walking to work or
parking
and walking.
Well, maybe the owner would have to then come up with a solution to buy a piece of property and make a parking lot. I mean, after a while, you start to interfere with your own business if you don't have adequate parking.
Of course.
They tend to balance out.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that would be the solution. If there was not enough parking, the guy would have to purchase something and or build a garage or make two-story parking or come up with some kind of creative answer to it.
Right.
Or build a smaller hotel
to
make room for parking.
Well, they're going to have to build the hotel up in the air anyway, right?
It's
flood zone?
Four stories.
I mean, off the ground? They can park underneath the hotel?
Not necessarily.
No? It's not.
There are other ways to floodproof an area than to build up. Why don't you get insurance on those places?
I don't think so. I think our
state DEP would kind of stop that.
It's the first floor livable space would have to be above 100 storm elevation.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, but I'm not arguing with that. I'm agreeing with that, but that doesn't mean that the first floor has to be not a grade. Grade can be elevated.
That happened when we were in my day.
Yeah, yeah. And why waste the land? Why waste the parking?
So if you elevate the grade, then you get four stories, you're actually get
Yeah, but I mean that. I mean, you got a parking problem there.
No, I'm saying the parking problem has to be solved by the owner any given time, otherwise he's going to lose. Look at one and see this. This is parking lots all over the place. Yeah. Down and down the two. Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought underneath would be a good spot.
No, I do too. I think that may be the way. If he's going to pick it up, he can make it wider.
Well, that'll be on site plan approval.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. This item H. Not to be converted to a multifamily residential unit is apartments, townhouses, or condominiums. Is that pretty standard? And
I'll read to you what the existing ordinance says.
Well, this is
what we said is a standard in the industry.
That's a form of ownership, though. The boards don't have any jurisdiction over forms of ownership.
It's not a form of ownership.
What if you tell somebody you have a hotel and you can't?
Yeah, if you have a mercantile license to operate a hotel. And then, without approvals from the town, you turn it into a permanent residence.
Hotel, you can convert, but an apartment house, you can't. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, an apartment house. Yeah, this is for hotels. Yeah. If it's zoned multifamily, then it's zoned multifamily. Whether you convert it, whether you have it in the form of rental or ownership, is really irrelevant. There's more standards in the state, but not for this. This has nothing to do with that.
Well, it could theoretically, though, be a. And I don't know that this language means a condominium living arrangement. Condominium is a form of ownership, and it's possible that...
Timeshare?
Yeah, exactly. It could be a timeshare, or it could be... There's hotels that are actually condo ownership, but managed as hotels.
Right.
Which means it's still a hotel.
That would be a situation where they'd have to come before a board to request. I would think they'd have to request a use variance for that, and you would have control over that sort of thing to make sure that they're not going to use that as a ruse to turn it into an apartment house
or into something that would be unattractive.
But if it's
whatever, what happened years ago? First on Fifth Street, we had one that was.
If it's the MX. The zone already permits multifamily.
A bunch of bungalows.
I'm just saying, for this the reading of this section of the ordinance pretty much protects you.
And the existing ordinance has the exact same language.
Okay.
That was money subject.
Okay.
Any other changes? Next change?
Beyond the section? We're done with the section?
I'm done with it, unless somebody else is done with it.
Any other discussion? Now it's time to entertain a motion to approve.
Or comments? Yeah, or your comments, if you want to take it in one fell swoop, or you want to address each issue and have comments for each one, that's fine. The resolution that I prepared does have almost exactly the same language that was in the last resolution from April. I left a blank as to whether or not you still would find it to be inconsistent or consistent. That last one said inconsistent, so I ain't in inconsistent. Other than that, it's exactly the same. So it's up to the board what you want to do.
I second Larry's motion to approve as is.
Okay, you're recommending the approval. Okay, that's fine.
No recommendation.
No comments. It's fine as written.
As
okay, that's fine.
Do we have... I know we tabled the...
But he just made another motion.
He made another motion.
Okay. I'm back on track now. I'm sorry. So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
That was seconded by Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Before we go forward on this, does that include language that indicates that because we're moving into the R103 and moving into the WC that it is not consistent with the master plan?
This still says it's not consistent. The resolution I have prepared still says it's not consistent. Unless somebody can tell me that it is, I'm going to leave it the way it is. Well, then I'm going to leave it the way it is.
Mr. Chairman?
Do we have a discussion?
Is it open to the public?
Yes.
Sure, come sit.
Okay, thank you.
Roll call.
Mr. Mullen?
Yes.
Mr. Schaller?
Yes.
Ms. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Colby?
Yes.
Mr. Stafford?
Abstain.
Motion carries.
Okay. Next item on our agenda is adoption of resolution with recommendations for O-12-9 and O-12-10.
We just did that.
We just did that all combined together.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Then we move down to approval of the minutes, and in your packets you have the minutes for the March 8th and the April 12th meeting.
The March 8th, Mr. Mullen, Ms. Peterson, Mr. Redman, Mr. Hill, Mr. Gallagher,
I'll offer
by Mr. Mullen.
Second.
Second by Mr. Gallagher.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
All the eligible in favor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed? None. Minutes are approved from March 8th. Now April 12th.
We have Mr. Mullen, Mr. Schaller, Ms. Peterson, Mr. Hill, Mr. Gallagher, and Mr. Colby.
I have a question on page 1. Bottom of the page, item 3. I'm trying to figure out what that sentence is saying.
Say that again, Mr. Mullen, page?
Page 1.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom of the page, item 3.
Excuse me.
Just go back to the model home, Mr. Mullen's rise, and I'll
tell you
what
I want. No,
I've got
on the minute, on these minutes is a piece of paper that says they'll be mailed out early next week. Did I not get it?
They're emails.
Ah.
You bring your computer?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did.
I should then say that in 0-12-9 MH zone, starting on page 1 originally, disallowed for mobile homes and mid-rise multi-family dwellings, but townhouses and single-family attached dwellings have now been added as additional uses.
I don't think there was a single-family attached. It was just single-family.
All right, so take out the word attached.
Well, that's my reading of what's permitted in the ordinance up there now. Single-family, multi-family, and mid-rise.
All right, so are we adding words in? So we're going to take out attached. So we have single-family. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll offer.
Motion to approve as amended.
Mullen.
Second.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Schoner.
Any discussion? All in favor, eligible members?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Minutes are approved from April 12th, 2000. Next item on our agenda, communications and vouchers. And you do have the copy of the New Jersey planner there. And please take the time to read it. It's always a fun read. Next item on the agenda is a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that.
This is to adjourn?
Yes.
All favor?
Bye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned, day 26.
You missed the fun part.